I want you to be seated. We're going to be doing a lot of things this morning. We're going to go ahead and get started. And again, I'm going to be teaching about a part of anointing, and then we're going to do something else. So, you know, I told you that doing this past year, I'm going to do what the Lord has said to do, and a little out of what we consider order, that's okay. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. God is a good God. Let me just say a few things before I get started here. Amen. Everybody under the sound of my voice that are Holy Ghost filled, you are in fact anointed. And not only are you in fact anointed, that you have within you purpose and plan that God has. How many of you know that? Everything that is created, everything that is made, is created by the Lord. How many know that to be true? And if everything is created by the Word, is conceived by the Word, manifested because of what has been spoken, then we need to understand that God has a plan, has a purpose for what I consider to be this dimension. I do not believe that this is the only thing that God got. I believe that God's got many things going on with many different dimensions, what we call maybe time slots or whatever. I believe in God. I believe in the things, that, the sales, and I believe in the spoke, there was a bang and things begin to happen. I believe that God has an order to things. I believe that everything that has created has a divine purpose and a very divine order. I understand that even in the laws of the realm of the spirit, there are things that God has put in place so that we can have revelation, that we can begin to walk in these things as God gives to us. Amen. And what I have found is in the book of chapter number 1, the very first 3 verses gives us very keys to how things are actually functioning. Anything that begins has to have, anything that exists has to have a beginning, and anything that has a beginning has to have a foundation. Anything is founded upon the Word of God. How many know that to be true? Anything that is founded has to have a foundation, and that foundation we are living in right now is the foundation of God's Word. The Bible says in St. John, the very first chapter, the thing was the what? The Word, and the what? With God, and the Word was God. Amen. We beheld His glory, full of grace and truth. And one of the things we really understand is that when God, and we talk about the Word of God, and we talk about the existence of God, the manifestation of God, what we need to really understand is that He is everything that exists. Amen. Everything exists because of Him. Everything that exists because of Him. And so, in the beginning, when God created earth, when God created the worlds, and when God implemented what we consider, when God implemented the stars, the moon, God had a foundation that was set. That, as a matter of fact, one of the purposes that we understand is that Satan before God, and the stars praise God. We understand the moon evolves around, and it's evolving. Everything that has breath, praise God. Somebody say, it's very important for you to understand that everything that exists, whether you believe it or whether it even the rocks has breath. Somebody says, well, how do you know the rocks have breath? Because the Bible says this. He says that if you shut your praise, the rocks will do what? Cry out. Amen. That is happening. Some dimension and some molecule structure within a rock has a hearing. And if it does not hear praise, it's going to cry. Somebody ought to say amen to that. When we look at the birds, we see them praising God. And we see the grass, however across the grass, it makes a sound. You can hear it in the summer day. We see the trees as it blows. It makes a sound because it has breath to literally praise. That you have breath. That means that God has made you to have you to be able to declare something. Hallelujah. I'm trying to speak it before I get started on this because what I'm going to talk to you about is foundational, but it has to do with the anointing and the ability to anointing. And the ability to be learn how to function in it, because over the years, in my own personal experience of some that I've talked to, many of us don't really know what's going on when it comes down to the function of the anointing in one's life. We as believers, we sometimes don't know how to break through in our lives. We have trouble on every side, but the Bible makes an emphatic statement because of the covenant agreement that we have with them. Deliver you out of them all. The Bible tells us, conquerors, amen. Let him that believe. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. The Lord has all these things. He has given us covenant. The Bible even says in the book of Genesis, the Lord is our great exceeding reward. Amen. That Shasha tells us that he can give us abundantly more than we asked or even comprehend in our minds. We need to understand that there is greater than any thing that we can think of. And when you think of a great thing, he is greater than that. Somebody else. And I truly believe that many of us that are in the body of Christ around the world don't recognize how great our God is, actually great he is, because we can only peep some of the things that he has done. And I want us to take at a greatness of what God has done as we go through this and talk about today. Somebody say amen. Amen. Musician, I want you to be prepared as I go forth today. And the first place I'm going to go, and I'm doing this so that we can have time for what we need to do. I want us to go to the book of 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. Verse number 27. All right. And let's honor the word today. The word is what we're going to be talking about today in conjunction with the. All right. Last week we talked about the anointing, the way that it can destroy and overpower the strong man's houses. The houses meaning our hearts, things that are in our hearts. And many people that are in the body of Christ have things within their hearts that they need Jesus to reshape, reform, and eliminate. Notice what it says in verse number 27. The anointing which ye have received of him in you, and ye need that any teach you, but as the same unto you of all things is true, and is not lie. And even as it has taught you, ye shall lie in him. He shall lie in him. All right. So let's first of all describe what anointing is in this. The anointing is a called purpose placed in each and every one of your life. Everyone that's up, you have an anointing in your life to cause things to happen because God has destined you with a purpose. You've been born with not only a purpose that is associated in this world, but your purpose that's associated in the next world or in the. He says that the received of him abideth in you, which means resident. It is now. It is right now. It is here. There's no reason that any of us lack. None of us. You might be weird of lack, but you should never stay in lack. There should be an opportunity when you are in the state that you're in to use the word out of the state that you're in to be a living testimony. God is, in fact, a deliverer. I listen to what I'm saying. You should use every opportunity that you're in to get yourself out of state by allowing God to move from that through his word to where he has told you already. It is very for you to understand a couple of things. Number one, your sickness in your body, the covenant that we have is your heal. It is very necessary for you that if you have a curse that is up on your life, the Bible is very clear that no curse shall come. And if there is one upon your life, whatever, then you have the ability through the anointing in you to break it. Are you understand what I'm saying? You and I are called by God a covenant that he has with us to establish our territory. And not only establish our territory, but cause our territory to expand. Somebody. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, right? And the Holy Spirit
when you don't know, somebody say hallelujah. How many know the Holy Spirit? Now, you can look at me, you can be dormant, you don't have anything, but what I have found out is that your sight is where your faith is. Y'all didn't get that. I'll be right over. If you're silent in your situation, that denotes where your faith is. Because if you're not, you'll speak to the dead things, and the dead things will... Are you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says in Genesis chapter number that the Spirit of God hovered over the voided area. And until God spoke, the voided area still existed. Until you speak a thing won't happen. Now you understand what I'm saying? God gives us the ability, he gives us the word to cause us to... When we say a thing, it has the ability that we will open our mouths and speak it. All right? Everybody say amen. That's if you believe it. If you don't believe anything. Listen. God's word is here now. And right now, everybody feels that it is dormant. But let me tell you right now, it's not dormant. The atmosphere is full of God. The atmosphere is full of anointing. And the atmosphere is full of the word. What you have to do is recognize it and understand that God is right here, right now. And it doesn't matter about what. Many times, as believers, the enemy fools us in believing it's about a feeling when it's not about a feeling at all. It's about a knowing and understanding that God is here. You understand what I'm saying? God's presence is here right now. And that means nobody has to sing, nobody has to play, nobody has to jump, nobody has to scream. The understanding is that God's presence is here. Guess what? If his presence is here now, he's able to do more exceedingly more than you can comprehend with the atmosphere being dormant. Why? Because God exists. The first thought about God is that he that comes to God must first believe he is, and that he's what? A rewarder of them that do what? Diligently what? Seek him. Diligently seek. And I believe today that many people that are in the body of Christ have not sought, therefore there's no manifestation of the Lord. And so that they are still in their dormant situation. They are still in areas. They are still in an area in their life where they're still without understanding that the power of God to change in their mouth, which comes from their belly, which comes from their, that abides within them. Anybody say, you don't have to believe it, but I believe it with all my heart, and I've seen it. I'm a witness to it, and I know that God is going to do it, and I know he will. It doesn't matter about what you feel, it doesn't matter about how the atmosphere or how many demons are in the way. If the word goes forth, it's out to you when somebody receives. Hallelujah. Chapter number 5, it says that when they can teach, that means that he began to proclaim a word. And if I proclaim a word, if you proclaim, the Bible says all of a sudden what shows up is the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that means that if you want anything, whatever you speak about will manifest in the word. So if I speak about my deliverance, guess what will happen? Deliverance will show up. Speak about my healing, healing will show up. Hallelujah. About redemption, redemption will show up. If I speak out the devil will get out. Why? Because when I speak a thing in that area, that thing is made manifested. Courage. Somebody say hallelujah. If you lack in your life, why speaking lack and start speaking purpose and start speaking it and start speaking that what God's going to do, he's going to do it. And guess what? Says this, and I am, and I said it this morning, and Rhema studied this morning. You know, we are people that really don't believe what the word says. We don't believe what the word says, and the reason why it says that we don't got a revelation of it. We stay in what we call component of the word. The logos is the written that gives us instruction, and that's where people come up with read the word, but they get no revelation of the word, so they learn the written word, which become legalistic after a while, and it's revelation, and the revelation comes alive and manifests itself, because when the revelation comes, something more powerful. I see it. You can't do it without seeing it. Jesus said that he says, I do nothing unless I see my Father do it. Guess what? Revelation came, and when revelation came, he was able to perform, saw it. And many of us, we don't see it, so then we don't get it. And you things are being passed over, and you feel that God is not tagging you, and you what God is not doing in your life, it has nothing to do with God. The promises of God are yea and amen. And I know when God's saying it, maybe you're not ready for it, so he may withheld it from you. What God has for you is yours, and your name is on it, and nobody can tell you. It's just a matter of you coming up and receiving it in the appointed time God has for your life. Are you listening to what I'm saying? God wants to do something for you, and God wants you to do something. And what do you want? What he wants from you is he wants perfect praise. He wants out of your belly that is not interfering with your situation. It's not attitude. It's not interfering with what's going on in your life and what's going on over here. And matter what, regardless of what people are doing, he wants perfect praise. He is all in all inside of you. He's the God of the God in the morning. He's the God in the afternoon. He's the God in the midday. He's the God in the evening. And he's the God in the midnight hour. Regardless of where you're at, he is still God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You ought to know that by now. You ought to know that many of us have been in the church 40 and 50 years, and we have not moved from where we've been at. Not got the revelation that he is still Lord. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And if it's happening in your life, you got to start speaking some things. You got to say some things. You got to start allowing the Holy Spirit to minister you so that that thing that is in your life will begin to break your life. Hallelujah. We are years in church and years and years in religion and years and years. And when we try to make something happen, it can't happen. And the reason why you have no revelation of it, it will happen. We're still hoping. God doesn't work in hope. God works in faith. You either believe it or you believe what he says and you go on what he says no matter what the circumstance, because the enemy will always make the circumstance look like God to do it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He'll always give you a view of what will not happen, because we're carnal in our heart and carnal in our mind. That's what we attach to because we go by what our vision says. That might be hard, but it's true. But your vision has got to go beyond what you are, natural eye, because your natural eye will. Are you listening? I'll give you a foundation today of how things happen. It goes right back to. I found that everything goes back to foundation. But the thing is that we can't go back because we have stirred off from foundation, because we have allowed people to put things in our lives and we can't move forward. We can't move forward. Listening to people is still listening to God. And then we're listening to our hearts that's been deceived. And we hold on to the religious attitude, religious theology, and we can hold on to what others have said instead of getting revelation for our own. We hold what the preacher says because it got a good tone to it, because it sounds, it looks right, and say, it just seems like that's right. Lord, let me check with the Holy Spirit before I walk in this thing. Begin to walk in the thing that the preacher has said and find out it doesn't work. Instead of walking in the rest of the Holy Ghost, Peter said, he asked Peter, who do men say that I am? And look at the different which they said. Some said, you are Elijah. Listen, if you look and said that some say you're Elijah, what that means in your mind that Elijah have come back from the dead has existed. There are some people right now that has a mindset here. Jesus is over there. Jesus is over there. But Jesus is there and everywhere. And but the matter of fact, what we need to do is right in your heart. We come into religiosity, an idealism. We come into idealism. Instead of getting into religion, we get into theology and realize what we think. Some of us, because of that, we've been years and years and years and years and years. And then what we want to do is we want to build a church. We want to hear everybody else instead of pointing the finger wrong. You know, you point one finger at somebody else, how many fingers are pointing back at you? It's not responsibility to get you excited about Jesus. Yeah, I can tell you that. That's okay. It's not the preacher's responsibility jumping and shouting over the word. The responsibility of getting you excited about Jesus is in you. You can go somewhere where it's a door now. But when you hear that you got a revelation on, you'll start jumping up and you'll get excited. Like something wrong with you. Yes, it is. I lost my a long time ago. It's about what you have sounds. I'm here because of him. I'm not here because of you. Because of what you did or you did here. I'm here invasion with Jesus. I want an encounter with him. I want him to come and overwhelm me with his word. So when I hear the word, I got it because it's about who, what, and who is doing in my life. And I can get excited about that. And the person next to you could be just as dormant, unaffected by the word. Just like when they came in life, he says this, he says that when Jesus began to tell what he said, he started describing the crowd that was among him with the word. The Pharisees. He started talking about the Pharisees and the priest and the people that were in the congregation listening to him, because when he describes them, what he was describing to the attitudes of their heart. Because every name on in there. So if you're a Pharisee, guess what? The law. You're religious. Describes the condition that was out there in Luke chapter number 5. What's that? He says right away, he says, the person that came out of Jerusalem, Israel, they came or came to hear him. But he says that all these other people were in the church today. Everybody comes with a different pattern of deal, and they come in and they sit and they hear. And that's what he says. There's only a few people that got a revelation of what he was saying. And it's pronounced right in that scripture. He says, in the presence of God, to heal. But nobody else got the revelation except for a few people that heard him out way in the back, outside of the window, out of the house, in the dirt somewhere, around the massive crowd that came to hear him. And when that happened, their heart knows what happened. They received the word that was hovering over the thin areas. The word was in the manifestation. But the only kind of manifestation is those that receive it. They didn't care about the Pharisees. They didn't care about the condition that was around. They didn't care about how the crowd was. They were responding, who was not responding to Jesus. They got a revelation, and the revelation calls their form. I can't get near. I got to get near him. So I left. I can't get that way. I looked around to the left, north, the south. I couldn't get to him. The only way that I can get to him is either I got to go. Y'all didn't hear him. Going up on the housetop denoted where their faith is. We're the same level as everybody else, but when they heard the revelation word, it caused their faith to escalate, which means that up and above and over the people in order to get down. Y'all didn't get that. You need to understand that if you want a manifestation of God, get up over the people. Over the they have no revelation here. When you get a revelation, that means that you. When they climbed higher, they did something that was an action. They tore the roof. They tore away the roof. And they put the man that had an incapacity, that was incapacitated before Jesus. And Jesus looked and said, guess what? I haven't seen something. Now notice something about Jesus in the scriptures. Sometimes you can get stuff without even, it's not even in Jesus' sight to give it to you. The woman that had the issue of blood said within herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Was Jesus paying attention to her? No. He was going about his way. Caused Jesus to focus. She went to and touched the hem of his garment. And when she touched the hem of his garment, faith drew out of him the power of the Holy Ghost. She felt it go in. He felt it go out. And sometimes what you got to do is you got to allow your soul where he is. And sometimes there's a fight to get there. Listen to what I'm saying. There's a fight to get there sometime. Notice the man that was on the side of Jericho. He was blind and he heard. When you hear something, you can respond to what's in the atmosphere. They responded. And when he heard that the Son of David was coming, he said, sign it. And you know how religious people, shh. I can't stand quiet. See, we were suffering. Some people they get disturbed when people are shouting. They get disturbed when they're hollering and screaming and they're falling out in a tantrum. That gets me. You know why that gets me more excited? Because they're paying attention to nobody else but Jesus. They don't care about what the crowd is, the order, what we set in order. Shh. with the white handkerchief and the cloth in the hand. Whatever we're going to learn in the midst, because in the praises of God's people, God is in the midst. God does what? Inhabits the midst of his what? When are we going to learn that? I said this. Oh, I got so much stuff in my head. Listen. Notice this. We're word people. Can you give me some strength? Watch this. Notice this. The atmosphere is dormant, right? Now, right away, pulled in. You just got just a little bit, just a little bit, just very simple in. Your mind is starting to focus in because of that. Now stop just stuttering. Now most people say, why you stop? Why you stop? That's what we do. Somebody stops suddenly. Knowing that sometimes God comes in the suddenlies. He comes sometimes in the suddenlies, which doesn't need a music to get him going. All he needs is somebody's there, and that faith is there. Are you listening to what I'm saying? God wants us to understand that it's about him and nobody else. Now listen to this. God, when you speak, have the Holy Ghost. Raise your hand if you have the Holy Ghost. All right, let's see. Holy Ghost. You got to make about 40, 50 people. And notice what the scripture says. It says that they said that the men, the apostles, was coming. They said they have turned the world upside down. And they have come. Which means that the expectancy of the apostles went out so profoundly that when they headed them, they said, when they come here, they're going to turn this thing out. Right? When we come into a Holy Ghost filled people, the expectancy is that God. Are you understand what I'm saying? But most of this is what we expect. We expect somebody else to get us started. We expect the preacher to get us started. The song, we expect the music to get us started. But your faith, God is chanting today, is to get your faith started without just you and him. Are you listening? Now listen to what he says. Now, in order for God to get people to speak about, he has to do things that's out of the ordinary. Now notice in number 22, I believe it is, or 20, chapter 20. Remember when the Israelites were surrounded by the enemy? Remember? Jehoshaphat and the enemy was surrounded. Everybody remember that? You got an enemy every day. A lot of y'all got a lot of enemies surrounding you every single day. They're peeking in your windows. They're sitting in your house, drinking tea with you. Amen. They're sitting there with you, and they are not moved by anything you do because you never speak. You know what I'm saying? Now, y'all maybe not going to shout, but as long as I get it out of me, I'm okay. The enemy's house, and he's destroying your house, have armor in your house to keep you where you're at because you will not speak. You will not get up and do something about yourself. He has fooled you, he has tricked you, he has deceived you, and you're sitting in there forever progressing because of the fact that the enemy is in your house. He's making you feel as though that nothing won't happen. And why, God, what you have done is that you've got offended. I wonder why God's not doing it. You know, I put on this Wednesday, and the praise that many of you know are from Jesus Culture is Kim Smith. And what she says, something that just hit me. And what she says, that people come into the church and worship because of the fact that, or they lack particular, because they are offended. Why are they offended? It's because of the fact that they are offended because of the fact that it's not working right. There's no manifestation area. And so they draw back their worship. There's a lack there. So offended and underneath all the things that are going on in our life, offended because God hasn't done it yet.
or God wants. We have an idea that God has some, for some reason, he has something or something like that. When we understand that grace is above us all. Are you listening? And so what we do is we come in, go back apart. And if we do lift our hands, we lift our hands, hold us to it, not because of the fact that we're in love. I'm just saying. And when she said that, I begin to think it's so true. It's because we become offended. And why we try to make excuses we haven't done it, or why we won't do it, is no excuse for you not praising. He's been too good to us. He's so good to us, better than ourselves. When we were in the hospital, he got us up. When we were sick, he healed us. Don't you know some of you had a cold and it could have killed you because somebody else died from the air, but you are alive. That's grace upon your life. And things are happening in your life. Things are alive, and you ought to be grateful regardless of what is going on in your life. You might have dollars in your bank account. Hallelujah. But you're still eating. You still. Hallelujah. You might not be able to go and buy a Louis Vuitton. Hallelujah. Or buy one of those high class suits. But guess what? You got clothes on your back. You ought to praise him just because of the fact that he provided you. Hallelujah. You might not know. There's been sitting there scratched my hood. I didn't know. I scratched my head. I didn't know the situation. I came to worry. I came years ago when I first got married. There was a situation that my house, and I didn't know why I stayed up all night. Did it do any good? No, it did. Hallelujah. But he still provided a way out. Hallelujah. And what I should have been doing, which I didn't do, was I prayed him instead of worrying. I just worried and worried and worried. And what I should have been doing, I should have been jumping on my feet, giving him praise and saying, you're a provider. You'll make a way out of no way. I don't know how to get out of this, but you're the one that can give me glory. You're the one that can lead me out. And I will give you the God of all. And you said in your word, because there's a covenant that you have. The covenant said that you are my provider. We gotta praise him because he's God. Notice what it says. The Israelites was coming down, and they was coming down, and they were coming to war. They was coming to war. They had them surrounded by the enemy. What happened was a word came up inside of the camp when he went and turned his face to the flame, and he pronounced something about God. He said, oh, you're the God of all. He exalted him. And when he exalted him, all the people exalted him. It says the Spirit of the Lord moved in the midst of the camp, and it says, hear thus, hear the Lord God. He says, the battle is yours. He says, but the battle belongs to me. He says, you don't have to fight. And guess what they did? He told them what to do. And this to me is that one of the secrets of the worship is that when they gave them that word, they took that word, blessed that word in a song. God told them to put the songsters of it. And he says, praise him. And when they begin to praise him, guess what? Begin to praise him. They did not worry about their enemy because they had a word. They didn't worry about their defeat. They had a word from the Lord. They didn't worry about the circumstance. They had a word. They didn't worry about what was behind them, before them. They had a word from the Lord. The word came from the Lord. Guess what? Whatever he says is true. Whatever he says, whatever he said, it is so. And they had a word. And when they began to praise God, guess what happened? They stepped into their praise, sat down in their praise. And now, even before they got there, the enemy was used, and the enemy killed one another. And when they came down, the song was finished. Not only were their enemies defeated, they had orders from the enemy. And a lot of times, we just don't understand. If I understood the manifest God inhabits our praise, and we get made because of revelation. I understand. I understood if everybody in here, if every single soul that is, just think about it, if every soul in here understood that God inhabits your praise, his word inhabits, his word is alive, his word is tangible, his word is manifested. If you were in here, if I understood it, you understood it, and we came on the core, there would be a dunamis explosion right in, because God would be in our midst, and because and because the word said it, and we believe it, we would get God. And let me tell you something. God has no but to manifest what he said. Whatever he says, that's what manifests. Whatever he declared, that's what manifests. That's why it's always good to pray. That's where prophetic singing come about. Prophetic singing is when you declare God has said out in the atmosphere for it to come to pass through your praise. I know it's coming to pass. And the Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. I know that we repeated that time and time and time again. But do you understand the revelation of it? Huh?
Do you understand the revelation of it? The Lord will keep me. The Lord keep me. The Lord will keep me. Will keep me. What does that mean? That if I go astray, he'll pull me back. If I'm wounded, he'll heal me. Hallelujah. If I'm bashed, he'll still take care of me. It doesn't matter if I, he will provide for me, because the Lord is my shepherd. And he says, I shall not want. That means I have no want for anything, because the Lord is in fact the shepherd. And the Lord will give me what I need, because he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. That it doesn't matter about what the need is. Husband, if you want a wife, he'll supply that, because that's something of your heart, and that's something you need, that love that it is. And God will supply it to you. You got zero. He can fill your bank account so you can give to others. Hallelujah. It all has to do with in your heart. In your heart. And so what we're going to do, I want you to turn to Matthew 6. I'm almost finished. Matthew 6. How many know that God is God? And beside him, he gives us this form. It's a prayer that most of us know by heart. And this prayer, as I begin to look at the morning, as we begin to meditate, because, oh Lord, we are such like. Why, Lord, are we not able to reach the throne room? We're not able to get in the realm of glory where people need healing because you're in the midst. Why is it, Lord, that you are not across the United States and across the world and bringing people? The question is why? He comes back and says, because my people are offended. He comes back because my feet don't believe. He comes back because my people are deceived. It comes back, my people lack. It comes back because we have an ideal of who I don't really know who I am. They don't understand their life. They don't understand that them grace and mercy. That it's about who I am that they're facing. Hallelujah. Here is that Jesus gives a model prayer. What he says here, you have to get a revelation of these. In Matthew chapter number 16, he says, he makes this statement. I say unto you, verse number 5, I say unto you, they have their reward for that. But then he goes, as he established a spiritual connection is more spiritual than natural. Notice what I said, the prayer of Jesus, this prayer is more spiritual than natural. God says in his word that he'll supply all your natural things. The promise of the covenant. Yes or no? That's why we believe that. It's a covenant promise. Worthy of still God's word. Let every man of God be what? Be true. And the foundation of everything, he that cometh to God must first believe that he what? He is a rewarder of them that do what? Diligently seek him. So right, if you're not diligently seeking him, you'll never get the revelation. Did y'all get that? If you don't diligently seek him, you'll never get the revelation. That means you're not communicating. Because if you're communicating, he's going to give you revelation. But God reveals the secrets to his friends. I'm not saying nothing. He reveals the secrets to his friends. Why do you think the Pharisees and scribes was blind when he began to tell them? He began to talk and people didn't understand a word that he was saying, because they couldn't get no revelation. Cut off because they rejected him. Notice what he says. But thou, when thou in the altar, when you get to the point, and I'm going to tell you something, when you get to the point where you're focused, nobody can get you off your focus. Also, the problem that you might have, if you've got a big problem going on in your life, it doesn't matter what nobody focuses on. Y'all get me. I'm trying to tell you something. If you have a problem in your life and you become focused, that's nothing else will interfere with that until that's resolved. So if you apply that same principle in your prayer and focus, you focus on him and let nothing else interfere with it, then guess what? That's your avenue to hear. Because what most of us do is that we get into a problem and we're looking for solutions. We're looking for answers. And so we are in all kinds of answers to the problem that we have. Instead of the world is saying, why don't we go back to the source of where the problem can be solved at? In the prayer closet, because you have a direct link to the Holy Spirit. Quit looking for a word from a prophet. I'm not saying, believe me, Lord uses me to prophesy sometime and all that kind of stuff, but I understand that you still need an inner witness. You still need an inner witness. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This doesn't mean that that's the word for your time and your season. I know. That's one of the problems that we have in the church. We're listening to people and the Holy Spirit. Don't you know the Bible says this, that we don't know how to pray as we what? Ought to. But the Holy Spirit is a session for us with what? Groanings that cannot be uttered. Things that we cannot understand. Things that we need. The Holy Spirit will make revelation regarding the issue and regarding the problem. Believe me, and I'm going to say again, I do not disregard prophecy at others. If I get a prophecy, I better get a confirmation from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, a confirmation. Amen. But I want a Holy Ghost. I want a Holy Ghost confirmation. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Listen to what this says. Because we're going to do this. Pray that the seeker thou, which seeth secretly, shall be openly. Everybody know what you've been doing behind the scene. After a while, people get married. And then 9 months later, what pops out? A newborn. Amen? Don't get silent on me. It's true. And God does the same thing. Going to the closet with him pops out of you is revelation and manifestation. What pops out, and everybody will say, notice what they did with the apostles. They said that they had been with what? Jesus. Well, the actions mimic the action of the one they've been with. Somebody always say amen. Amen. And so, guess what? We know that people are Jesus because they don't act like him. I know it's quiet. They don't love. They don't forgive. They're angry. They're mean. You haven't been. Because the Bible said he's altogether lovely. We say to ourselves, he's sweeter than the honeycomb. To the end. He's a friend of sinners. Hallelujah. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The thing that we need to vision and get into relationship. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Get a relationship and you've been in relationship with him and you've been in the closet with him. You won't act. You can't. You've got to come out. That's why when you're in true worship, you lift your hands up and worship him out of the expression of your heart will change because you will see him as he is. And that area will have to change because when you lift your hands up and you see how loving he is and how magnificent he is, you will change. You got it. Lift my hands up and I see him and all the fullness and the goodness. I've got to change because I recognize that I'm not like him. And I will become what I worship. But when you pray, use not vain repetition. For they think that they have much to be heard from their much speaking. But he says, but be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows you have need of before you ask him. And no, he says, after this manner, therefore pray. This prayer that we are going to, and we're going to pray. This is spiritual. This is foundational prayer. And the first thing that he mentioned, how many of you have the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost, say hallelujah. If you have, it gives you an empowerment. It gives you an entitlement. The entitlement is that we can come boldly before the throne of grace of trouble. How many of you are in trouble? You ain't got to say nothing. How many of you have troubles in your life? You ain't got to say nothing. How many need to be broken? You don't have to say nothing. How many of you got things that you are dealing with and you don't know what to do? You're like in the valley of this. Then what you need is the Holy Spirit and a revelation. He says, our Father, hallowed be thy name. And what that is interpreted is that your name is great. Your name is holy. Your name is revelatory. Your name is greater than any other name there is. No other name under men can be saved other than whose name? The name Jesus. So let's stand on our feet. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. How many know it's Jesus? Come on, I just want you to whisper that name, Jesus. Jesus. Come on, just whisper that name, Jesus. Jesus. It says, our Father which are in heaven, how great is your name? How many know that he's great? Jesus. Come on. Don't you know that that name is above every name? When we begin to acknowledge him, that's why one of the revelations in worship is that worship me. Expression by declaring who I am. He is great. He's wonderful. How many know that he's great? He's wonderful. I don't care what situation that you're facing. Get your heart offended today. Get your heart to be unoffended today and begin to do that name. And that name saved you. That name brought you and healed you. That name gave you another part, place in heaven. Boy, it is that name that has been exalted above every single man in the earth. At that name, demons tremble. At that name, things change around because his name is great. That's a great God. Why don't you declare him right where you stand there? He's great. He's wonderful. He's magnificent. He's great. Come on, just say how great he is. Come on, just think of these things that he has done in your life and how great his name is. When I'm going to dedicate the temple, he says, thou God, the one that has created.